Scott Spears here, WGH Talk Radio's 12th anniversary, and we are up and running, and this is a little different tonight. This is actually the second time I've done the intro, not for you listening at home, but this is the second time I've done the intro tonight, and this is quite different. For those listening on radio, we actually have a live studio audience at our studio. Back in the, yes, all you can hear them. And it is a VIP crowd, to be sure. We have got legendary mayor of the city of Marion, longest-serving mayor, tied with Scott Schertzer, and got a big birthday coming up on Sunday. Mayor Jack Kellogg is here. Fran Vall, a many-time guest, former principal of Marion Catholic High School, did a great job there for so many years, and a great basketball coach. Women's basketball really ushered that in college. Larry Barnett, one of our dear friends here, who's participated in the fruitcake toss and had a career as an umpire, second to none. So glad to have him here. Glenn Copel, who had his own show on this station for a period of time, he's here tonight, back with us for the big anniversary program. Terry Tackett's here. Sean Kraft is here. Linda Sims, who's been here all 12 years, can still be heard every Thursday from 10 until noon, voice of the people here on this station. Ken Holleran, he's running in the 86th District. He's the Democrat running in the 86th District. He's here with us tonight. He's a guest on the programs from time to time. We always enjoy having him. Bob Welsh, who helped us originate the Upper Crust Society, of which Mayor Kellogg and Larry Barnett are both members of. I'm a member of that, along with Mary Ellen Withrow and Brenda Donegan and Sheriff Bailey. Whole slew of people. I know I'm forgetting a few names there, but it's a great group. Marianne Michaels, a whole group of people. We've got music tonight. We've got entertainment. It is going to be something. Matt Morgan here, of course, and I hope I've mentioned everybody's name. And we're going to open up this. Dick Schwatter is here, one of our friends for a long time, taking pictures. It's like having the paparazzi here when you have Dick here. He's snapping those pictures everywhere at the palace and everywhere I go. Dick is snapping pictures, so it's good to have him here tonight. Now we're going to open up. We've got entertainment. It's not just going to be talking, even though this is talk radio. A gentleman who's got, Chad, how many plays now on the internet?
My latest single just got
97,000 listens on the internet. He's a recording artist. He's released a CD. He has performed in Nashville, and he's going to open up the entertainment section of the program tonight. Here's a song from our friend Chad Clark here on WGH Talk.
It was July, hot and humid, had a fall, take a guess. Bored and restless, with nothing to do, had to make the time pass. Pick me up, a little honey, and a bottle of Boone's Farm wine. Now that I look back on it, Lord, I love that summertime. 'Cause in a 75 Chevy Nova, in the backseat I became a man. What I would've give it all again. What I wouldn't give to do it all again. We were cruising with the windows down, and I turned on the radio. Henley singing Hotel California. Lord, don't you know? Then she slid closer to me, put her arms around my neck. When she kissed me, man, I'm here to tell you, it damn near made me wreck. 'Cause there's a 75 Chevy Nova in the backseat. I became a man. What I wouldn't give to do it all again. What I wouldn't give to do it all again. 'Cause there's a 75 Chevy Nova in the backseat. I became a man. What I wouldn't give to do it all again. What I wouldn't give to do it all again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What I wouldn't give to do it all again. What I wouldn't give to do it all again.
Thank you.
Hey, Chad Clark, everybody. What a great song that was. And Chad will be back in hour number two with another great tune. Actually, my favorite song. I think he's going to play in hour number two when he opens up the second hour. Now, I had a little index card with me. It's the only thing I have written down tonight, and I forgot to do it when we opened the show, so I better do it now. We want to thank our sponsors for this program, Donato's Pizza and the LNP Cake Shop, and we thank them for everything they do for us every year at anniversary time, and the pizza is great from what I understand. Now, Matt is not a fan of pizza, so I can't ask him, but Glenn, come up here for a second. Have you had any pizza?
No?
Well, geez, you're the wrong person to talk to.
I ate before I
came. Linda, have you had any pizza?
Yes, I did.
Oh, come on up here, Linda. Thank goodness somebody who ate the pizza. You know, we should have really done a rehearsal on this thing before we opened up. Linda, how was the Donato's pizza, if anybody is at Donato's is listening right now?
Good and crispy.
Delicious and warm?
Delicious and warm.
Now, Linda, you have been here since day one, all 12 years with us. You were here when we started on opening day,
yes.
June the 10th, 2014. Tell the story of how you came to this station.
I came to the station through a very dear friend of mine, ours, Earlene Baskin Hatch. She was friends with Scott and had called me because she had moved away, and she said, well, they want to want you to go out there so you can start the show again. I'm like, really? Because we were on with WDCM 97.5, I think it was, and then that stopped, so I weren't doing anything. So when they said Scott wants to talk to you. I didn't even really know Scott at that time, you know, but I said, okay, I'll do it. She said, out of the Southland Mall, go out there. And I did do that. And he interviewed me and said he wanted me to start my show again, A Voice of a People. And I thought, wow, great, let me go. So we did that, and I've been with them ever since. And I thank God for that, because it is an outlet for citizens of Marion, Ohio, no matter what color, no matter what affiliation they are politically, but we have a voice in this city, and I thank God for that.
Linda, thank you. Thank you so much, and thank you for 12 years of great, great programming. You can still catch Linda live every Thursday from 10:15 until 12 noon. Now, Glenn, come on up here. Now I'm ready. Glenn always looks so surprised when I call his name. Glenn, you know this is a radio show. You know I'm going to come to you here. Glenn, good to see you.
Your hand.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Now, Glenn, you came to us. Talk about how you came to the station.
I have no idea.
Well, that's a good story, Glenn. You're going to have to work on that one.
I think...
You were running for office.
Yeah, and I wanted to get some notice. And so I think I contacted you, didn't I?
I think so.
Yeah, and got on and did a wonderful job here on the radio station. That was the first of the three that I failed at, but it was all right. A lot of people knew I was on.
Right. No, you didn't win that particular office.
No.
I believe you were running for the 86th district at the time.
Yeah.
Kent, who's running for that now. But I believe you were doing that, but you came on. And when that did not go well, didn't turn out well in November, I think we talked and you said, because you've got roots, as they say.
Yes.
In radio. Talk about that.
I do have roots. I've been on radio. I just turned 80. I've been on the radio since I was 15, and I love being on the radio. I love hearing myself talk is what it is. Yeah.
Well, and you're still on with us to this day. The show did wrap up in, I believe it was 2022, but you're still on Linda's show. You guest with Linda.
You never invited me back.
No, you come back plenty. But you made friends. You had regulars on your show during the time you were here. Talk about those regulars.
Well, it's kind of interesting. When I come on your show last week, and I can't remember his name. Anyway, same guy has called up. Every time I've come on your show, called up to say hi.
Lee,
that's right. And Lee says hi to me every time I'm on his show. And still remembers me.
Well, that's an interesting point. I'm glad you brought this up, Glenn, because one thing we do is take calls from the listening audience. And we have a devoted group of listeners who listen to this station and call in are there with us every morning, participating in the show, telling us when we do something right and telling us when we do something wrong. And you know, it is very strange, but it's a good strange to get up in the morning. These people you really don't know very well, but they're there with you. You talk to them every morning. And that's a great thing, because two-way radio has kind of faded away, certainly in Marion, but we've kept it alive here.
Yeah, and the nice thing about your audience is every time I make a little slip of language, they forgive me.
Yeah, well, we don't want any slips tonight during the anniversary program, Glenn. No slips tonight. Now, your favorite moment of doing your shows over the years?
Oh, boy. I think... I really think one of Lee's early call-ins, when I was struggling to get call-ins, was one of my favorite moments, because it just kind of said, hey, somebody's really listening.
Yeah.
And that was kind of neat. And then I've always just like, you and I had a pretty good go together, and I loved, what was it, 3 years, 2 years that you and I had a show together. And that was kind of cool. And I noticed that you didn't invite me back.
You were just back about a week and a half ago, and we did that again, Glenn. Now, here's this is one of my favorite stories, and we have to tell this at every anniversary. The Big Fruitcake Toss has become one of our big events here at WGH. I don't know why people like it, but it has grown every year. Now we have the Salvation Army as a part of it. We have the Y Men who are a part of it. We have a great, great event. We have hot chocolate. We have, what do we else? We have hot chocolate. Buckeye Donuts, yo, we have everything out there. And it's a tremendous event. We do it in the coldest, every day it falls on the coldest night of the year. That's when we do that fruitcake toss. But we take an actual Claxton fruitcake.
Yeah.
You have to be nominated by a listener. That's how it all happens. The listeners call in. They nominate somebody. We assemble that group together on that cold night. We go outside. We go out back here in the parking lot. And we toss an actual Claxton fruitcake. And people love it. And my favorite news story of the year is when the Marion Star reports on the statistics of the fruitcake toss on the front page of the paper every December. We find out how far they threw and what they said and who was involved and who the winner was. And do you know who are the only person ever to win it twice, and he holds the record for the longest throw right now?
It was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Well, he's won the last 2 years.
2 years, yeah, and I can't remember his name.
Superintendent of the Marion City Schools, yeah. Brian Murphy. It's a real blue chip event. I mean, Larry Barnett's been a part of that. Jack Kellogg, our mayor, has been a part of that. Kent, I believe Kent has been a part. Glenn, Matt, Terry, Linda. I mean, I think most people here have been a part of the fruitcake toss. And if you haven't, get ready for December. We'll be tossing those Claxton fruitcakes out again. But that's a community event that I think is a lot of fun.
It's a great, great deal of fun. Make sure you wear your coat. But other than that, it's kind of fun to go out there and freeze your... Yeah, off.
Took
us. Thank you. Yeah, that's the words that they don't let me say on the radio.
And I think does anybody remember what the record is right now?
72.
It's more than that, isn't it?
I think it's something like 65.
65 feet, it's an underhanded toss. An underhanded toss of that Claxton fruitcake. And seriously, I'm not kidding. We have former mayors. We have former Major League umpires. We have current city council members. Sheriff Bales has been in it quite a bit. Superintendents from Marion City and River Valley, county commissioners, treasurers, auditors. I mean, it's a real community event. And just anybody who wants to participate.
Yeah, and you didn't tell them that they have no chance of losing, because I lose every year.
You do lose every year. You have never won, Glenn. We're hoping that one year do you. We're hoping that you. But I bring this up while I have you up here because I wanted to mention this. Tell the story, and I'm going to give you the mic, of the fruitcake toss. You might not remember this, but the fruitcake toss where the lady came up to you. Tell the story. That's all I need to say. It was a cold December night, Glenn. Tell the story.
Well, everybody here knows that I'm a teetotaler. Okay, there's wink, wink. Anyway, a lady came up to me, and I didn't know who she was, and she wanted me to win. And so she said, I brought this for you, and I took a swig of it, and boy, it made me want to win. But I did not win. Matter of fact, I don't know where I was the rest of the night. But it was great fun.
Now you got to understand this story. A lady Glenn does not know came up with a cup outside in the freezing cold and said, drink it. And he drank it. And then you gave it to a minister that night to hold while you went up and threw your fruitcake. I mean, good Lord, Glenn, it's a miracle we're still on the air here. It's lucky the feds didn't come in here and shut us down years ago with that behavior like that.
Nobody has ever said that I'm not an idiot.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Glenn.
Thanks.
It's always good to be with you. Thank you for coming tonight. Glenn Coble, a lot of great memories there. And we'll have more from Glenn as we go along. Just relax, Glenn. We got a long way to go. Sitting in the front row here is the, as I said, one of the two longest-serving mayors in the city of Marion, Jack Kellogg, who, by the way, I don't think he'll mind me saying, on Sunday, Mayor Kellogg will turn 90 years old this coming Sunday. What an event that is. As I always say about Mayor Kellogg, you came up with the idea of Spam and hot chocolate on Buckeye Chuck Day. You have come out and thrown the fruitcake. You threw the fruitcake last year at 89 years old. You'll be out there, I'm sure, again this year at 90. We hope. Mayor Kellogg was, in my opinion, the most unpretentious politician you would ever want to meet. And also, we are in a world where mayors and state reps and city council people don't always want to talk to the media anymore. There was never a time where I could not get Jack Kellogg. And a matter of fact, Mayor Kellogg started the tradition, which doesn't exist right now, but it lasted for 32 years, of the mayor coming on live radio once a month, and you could ask him anything. And Scott Schertzer, Mayor Schertzer, continued that tradition for his 16 years, but that was started because of Jack Kellogg. So I think we should give the mayor a round of applause for his friendliness to the media all these years, and was always a great guest. Mayor Kellogg, I'm sure it wasn't always a pleasure to talk to me, because sometimes there were things going on I'm sure you didn't want to talk about, but why were you always so available for the media?
You want me to stand up?
Whatever you want to do. Yeah, let's have the mayor stand up here for us. There we go. Mayor Kellogg. Hey, it's so good to be here with you. Why were you always available for the media?
Why? What did you say?
Available for the media.
Oh, well, because that was my job. But anybody walked in the front door of City Hall and they wanted to talk to the mayor, I told the girls down there that if I was in the building, I wasn't into a meeting I couldn't get out of, send them upstairs. I'll talk to them. They said, no, we won't do that. You don't want to talk to them people. They're bad people. You send them upstairs if they want to talk to the mayor. And you know, I gained a lot of respect for doing that and got a lot of friends that they hated the city, but once they could talk to me and we get resolved the problem, we talk about other things, then we get to the point what we had to there for, and it worked out. So I enjoyed working with people. Well, I had I was a body man for when I started out in high school, and manager of a body shop. So people were good, nice and bad, better. I was an insurance adjuster for 36 years, and the same way there, they with problems. But I would talk to them first about life. Then when we get to start, they would talk to me, we'd go into what the problem was then and work it out.
You know, Mayor, it is so interesting because we certainly do live in a different time now where people aren't always available for the media, and Democrat and Republican seems to mean everything now. You're a Republican. Matter of fact, you just received, I was at an event, the Harding Day Dinner, back in May, I believe, or late April. Mayor Kellogg is the first person to receive the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Republican Party in Marion, Ohio. And, well, hold on, hold this. I want to say that, and then you can clap. I was there that night, and there were some big speakers at that event. That was a big event. There were a lot of people there. There were state reps there. The man, McCauley, running for lieutenant governor, was the keynote speaker. I sat there through the whole thing. The only person that got a standing ovation that night was Mayor Jack Kellogg, of all the people, and he deserved it. Yeah. Mayor, what was it like to get that award back in April?
Oh, very nice. Matter of fact, I didn't know we had that award in there to give out, but nobody ever came close, I guess, to winning it. And if you go back through my record, the jobs that I have handled in politics is unreal. And nobody else has ever done that. And it worked out for me, and I appreciated them, and they gave me a nice night that night, and I enjoyed it. But it's talking, negotiating with people. And I always had a good fun doing that.
Well, it's always been fun, and we're glad to have you here, Mayor. Thanks for coming tonight, and we'll talk to you as the night goes along. Mayor Jack Kellogg, 16 years as the mayor of Marion, 4 different terms. Not a nicer guy, and I want to tell this story because I think it really speaks to showing up, and I've told the mayor this before. But the we were having an event for the late Madge Cooper, who was a legend in Marion radio. And I called up Mayor Kellogg, and I said, Madge is, I believe she was 95 at that point. Madge, don't strike me with a lightning bolt, because she did not like people talking about her age, but she was turning 95. And I said, Madge has been so involved here in Marion, radio for 52 years. I said, what do you think about naming a day after her? Do you think we could get that done? And Mayor Kellogg said, absolutely, we'll get that done. The week of the show came in which we were going to name the day after Madge. Mayor Kellogg was going to come with the proclamation and present it to Madge. And that week, Mayor Kellogg had a death in the family. It was, I don't know when it was, but it was early in that week. And I thought, well, geez, there's no way he's going to make it to the show that Thursday. So I called his office and I said, you know, I know the mayor is not going to be there tonight. Could we just get the proclamation? We'll read it on his behalf. We totally understand why he can't be there. And it was very interesting because the night of the show came, we couldn't get a hold of anybody in his office, and the night of the show came, and here came Jack Kellogg walking in the front door with that proclamation, and I said, Mayor, I said, I didn't expect you to be here. You know, I'm so sorry for your loss. And he said I would be here for Madge, and I am here for Madge. And I'll never forget that. And that's a true story. And that's the kind of people who I think we do have here in Marion. You know, Marion gets talked about in a lot of bad lights, unfortunately, sometimes. A lot of bad press lately. But there are good people here. And there are good people doing good things who have done good things for a long time. And I think everybody in this room is one of these people. Now, Matt Morgan came to us. Matt, tell how you became a part of this station.
Kind of an offshoot kind of a way. So one day I was at work and I had gone into the bathroom and I was not working as per usual, you know. And I was going through Snapchat and I came across a Snapchat story called "What Happened to Ted Williams, the Man with the Golden Voice." So I was just, you know, tapping through this Snapchat story and lo and behold, it mentioned that he announced he was going to run for governor and president on Scott Spears Now. So after I had left the bathroom, you know, Scott was at work, so I had, you know, it was like, hey, you know, so I talked to him about that. I told him I was interested in doing something along those lines, and he said he'd let me know if anything happened. And then it was the primary, I don't know, 3 years ago, I guess. And he said that they needed somebody to go to the Board of Elections, and I was like, I can do it. And been here ever since. So it's good stuff.
And you'd never been to the Board of Elections prior to that?
Correct, yes.
Never covered an election, but you showed up and did great, and you're still doing it now.
Well, debatable, but I appreciate the sentiment.
No, it's okay. You're doing a great job and doing a great job tonight. Now, let's see. Where's Terry at? Is he around here? Did we lose him? Terry Tackett, who's been here since almost the beginning of this station. We're going to learn how he became involved here. Oh, he's out hanging out by the door. He's coming. But Terry Tackett has been here. I think he came in the first 3 months of this station back in 2014. 6 months? All right, Terry, how did you become a part of this station?
Well, how I became, to my recollection, was at the time I was off work. I had a medical procedure, and Scott, I came out. I knew Scott through working at the mall and stuff, and he invited me out actually to listen on the radio. And then I came out a couple times and put headphones on, and actually went on the radio. And at the time, if I'm not mistaken, Sean was like, his work schedule was just crazy or whatever. So they then kind of invited me to become an even bigger part of the station. So that's basically what happened. And so I'm still here.
I don't say unfortunately. Fortunately, you've been here ever since. Now, Terry, what is one of your favorite moments in the last 12 years?
A lot of them, really, but I was just, as a matter of fact, I was just talking the other day. A lot of my favorite memories actually stem with you. We did a lot of shows together.
We have.
And I really enjoyed a lot of those shows that we did.
You know, one of my favorite moments with Terry, we were granted credentials to the 2016 Republican convention in Cleveland. It was in Cleveland that year. That was the year President Trump was, well, again, it was candidate Trump that time. He was nominated. Yes. Well, and everybody was there. We were with all the media. You had CBS there, NBC, all the newspapers, CNN, the whole group was there. And, well, go ahead.
We were set up outside. Across from us was the governor's room where all the governors, Jeff Sessions, everybody was there. Well, this lady happens to come by. Our table was set up right there. Scott Addison, a great location. And this lady kind of taps our table and she says, "Boy, you guys have a great location here." And after she walked by, I said, "Scott, who was that?" And I mean, everyone knows this lady. She's been on TV a million times. The lady was Katie Couric. And to this day, he still never lets me live it down that I didn't know who Katie Couric was.
She walked right by, and he kind of blew Katie Couric off. Can you believe that? That did not put us in good stead. No, it didn't.
We made up for it.
Hey, hold on. I want you to tell this story from the late Phyllis Schlafly. Does anybody remember Phyllis Schlafly? She was a legendary Republican commentator. And she would come. Actually, we were at that point, we're running her Phyllis Schlafly commentaries every day, like Eagle Forum or something like that. And Phyllis, at something like 93 or 94 years old, was at this convention in Cleveland. She'd been there forever.
Yeah.
So I said, "Well, Phyllis, do you want to come be on our show while you're at the convention?" And she said, "I will get there." And she did. She found us, and she was in a wheelchair, of course, in the big nation. Where was it? No, that's in Columbus. It was the Q, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Q in Cleveland. So they're pushing her around, and her son's pushing her around. Now, I'm doing the live interview back here to Marion from Cleveland with Phyllis Schlafly. We're sitting on the air from the Q at the Republican convention, and I see this man who I don't know who he is, and he is poking Terry in the chest, and he's really giving it to him there in the arena. And what happened there, Terry?
Well, I went to get Miss Schlafly to tell her where we were going to do the interview at. Well, her son wheels her down in this wheelchair. And the whole way, he's just chewing me out the whole way. She has a certain time she has to be done. He has to take her at this point, you know. And so Scott proceeds to start the interview. And this guy is just, you know, mother's got to be done by. And he is just going to town, you know. I mean, just thinking that she's not going to be done in time. And it just, it was a miserable time, to say the least. I mean,
not for me. She was a delightful lady, I thought. She was very, very interesting. But she'd been at every Republican convention going back to something like Eisenhower. It was, but those events are fascinating. And I think, was there a fight? I don't remember the fight. Oh, yeah, there were fights there. You know, it's just that thing. But politics are fun to cover. And I want to bring Ken up here, Ken Halloran, who's here at our event, running for the 86th District, the Democratic candidate. And Ken has been on with us many times, really in the last year, I would say. But, Ken, how did you become involved with this station?
You called me up and asked me to join. I believe I was a write-in candidate for city council.
Right.
And I had basically did that because I'm a poll worker as well, and I had no, when I, and I'm pretty new to Marion. I moved here with my wife in 22, and we wanted to become active with politics, but mainly as poll workers. And I got involved because I could not believe, I was appalled that where I was assigned as poll worker, which was right at the rec center, I could not believe that other than one race, and that was for one precinct, there were no choices. And this was at the primary election, and there was no choice. And of course, no one was showing up. There were several important issues to vote on, but there was no choice. And at that point, I said, people deserve a choice. And I threw my hat in the ring as a write-in. And I think you found out, or you discovered that probably from Glenn, and you invited me on.
And it's been fun ever since. And I always think it's great because you will find now in radio and on television, unfortunately, and I think on a lot of the podcasts and things that are out there, that people will only tend to have one side on. They'll either only have Republicans or they'll only have Democrats. And I've always thought that was ridiculous because why wouldn't you want to hear from everybody? Why would you not speak to both sides?
You've got me. I'll be honest with you, and we can look at it from the evolution. I think we're all young enough here to remember a time when we all got our news from one or two sources. Everyone tuned into the same two or three television stations, and everyone read the same newspaper. And the problem is with all this booming variety, everyone is struggling to get ears and eyes on their product. And unfortunately, what's happening is they're tailoring their messages to certain eyes. And to me, that is very detrimental to our, not only our democracy, but just our way of life.
And here, it is not that way.
Absolutely not. It's fantastic. I appreciate your effort and the effort of the station to get a variety here. You know, Marion, in spite of the fact, and again, as I'm running for the 86th district, it's already painted red. I'm told by many people, including Glenn, it's red district. It's an uphill battle. Yes, it is an uphill battle. I admit that. But you know what? We've got a lot of people here with a lot of varying opinions and varying ideas. And so, like His Honor the Mayor, I plan to do exactly that. If and when I'm elected, I will hold events. I'll be at a local pub or a local coffee house just to listen to people.
If you'll be at the local pub, you'll see a lot of Glenn.
Oh, well, I'll go to the classier one.
Go to the classier pubs. Thank you, Kent. Thank you for being here tonight. We appreciate that. Ken Halloran, running for the 86th District. Now, I want to thank the League of Women Voters, because the League of Women Voters came to us, I believe it was the first year we were on the air, and all the years the League of Women Voters Candidates Night had always been on WMRN. And they came to us in year one and asked us if we would start airing their Candidates Night. And we have aired it here up until the last year, so we're still airing the League of Women Voters Candidates Night. So I thank that particular group for doing all that they have done. Now, we've got 11 years old, right, Gabriel?
Yep.
Okay. We have got a performer coming up here. I attended an event at Bucci's downtown. It was called the Bravo event. This was back in April, early May, mid-May, and it was a talent competition to see the young talent here in Marion. And this gentleman, 11 years old, Gabriel Ross Vanis not only plays the guitar, not only sings, but also writes his own songs. Now, Gabriel, what is the name of the song you're going to sing for us tonight?
My Best Friend.
Now, this is a song that you have sang on the radio for us before, and it's always entertaining.
Yeah.
Yep. It's entertaining for us, and we all feel like friends here at the station, so I am going to try to get this mic ready for you. Gabriel, you let me know where you need it here. I want to grab that, Sean, the mic stand here, and then we are, you know what, one person act up here right now. We'll get this. So we have Gabriel ready. Gabriel doing an original number here on WGH Talk, 11 years old, and also playing the guitar, doing it all. Gabriel, take it away.
Okay. Okay. My best friend for life, and I would lie for you, cry with you, and make it alright. We've got to hang on, we've got to stay strong, because through stormy weather we stick together, 'cause that's where we belong. When I first saw you, you were crying in the rain. I put my arms around you to take away the pain. You looked up at me, then leaned into my ear. Then you softly whispered, "Thanks for being here." You said, "I've always felt invisible and like nobody cared. For all my life I felt unheard and a little scared." I said, "You'll never have to face this life alone anymore. I'm always here for you, 'cause that's what friends are for. You are my best friend for life. And I would lie for you, cry with you, and make it alright. We've got to hang on, we've got to stay strong, because through stormy weather we stick together, 'cause that's where we belong. The years have passed and we've moved on to bigger, better things. But when you left this town, you broke my heart, and that pain really stings. But through my hurt, I'm still proud of you, and I loved every moment we went through. For now I'll say goodbye, but I'll see you again, and you'll forever be my best friend." You are my best friend for life. And I would lie for you, cry with you, and make it alright. We've got to hang on, we've got to stay strong, because through stormy weather we stick together, 'cause that's where we belong. You are my best friend, you are my best friend for life. You are my best friend.
Hey.
You can play along with me.
Gabriel, what a song that is. Thank you so much for being here and helping us celebrate our anniversary.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Gabriel Ross Vanis, everybody. You'll be hearing his stuff. I'm telling you, it's going to be coming soon. Plays the guitar, writes his own stuff, and even adjusts his own mic stand at this point because we couldn't get it together. But Gabriel did a fine job. A fine job. Now, one thing I want to do, Glenn and Linda, come up here. And Sean, I want you to come out here, Sean Kraft, who's been here since day one. Because before we take our break, we got a break and we got a whole nother hour coming. We're going to talk with Fran Vall. Larry Barnett's here. We're going to have some more fun. Bob Welsh is here. We got to talk with him and talk about the tradition of signing the pizza crust. But we have all been here a long time. Terry Tackett has been here with us as well. But in the last 12 years, we have lost some people. So we want to remember them because they contributed a lot to this station over the last 12 years. And first to my mind would be the late Paul Savage, hosted a program on Sunday evenings here called Heaven Express. He was the music man, Linda. What are your memories of the late Paul Savage?
I remember him coming out to the mall and wanting to be on the show, and you sent him to me. He came to you first, and you sent him to me, and I thought, well, I can give him a try, you know, because I love music anyway. But, you know, he was very instrumental, and he made a large, huge impact on our radio stations, and we were with him until the end. I mean, he even orchestrated a number for your show, and left me out, but didn't do one for my show.
Join the crowd.
But no, and I'll tell you, what, we're going to get to this, but one of the theme songs, Paul decided he was going to write theme songs for everybody on this station, and he wrote one for the late Charlie Evers. And I, when I first heard it, I thought, oh God, Charlie's going to hate that. It's because it sounded kind of quirky the first time I heard it, and I thought, that's not. So I thought, I'm going to slip it in on Charlie just one day, and he'll get a kick of it. He'll tell me never to play that again. I played it. I went out during the break. I said, Charlie, what'd you think of that theme song? He said, I love it. Don't take it out. And I will tell you, Charlie was on this station for 6 years, 3 days a week. More people sang that theme song back to me and knew the lyrics of that thing. I couldn't believe it. Linda, that thing had a life of its own. And when Charlie died, that's one of the last things we played on the air was that theme song, tailor-made for Charlie. Everybody loved that, did they not?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And we were with Paul to end. Maybe the day before he passed away.
I will tell you, this goes to speak to this station. Paul Savage was unfortunately diagnosed with ALS, which is a horrible illness, Lou Gehrig's disease. And he took a break because he was having trouble getting diagnosed. And he finally got diagnosed, and we knew, obviously, that there wasn't a lot of time left for Paul. And he said, I want to do a last show. I want to come in and do a final show on Sunday. I said, that's fine. And we all came in. Linda came in on Sunday. Charlie came in on Sunday. Sean, Terry was there. The whole staff at that point came in on a Sunday evening, and we were all guests of Paul's last show. Paul went out. He had a great show. That was Sunday evening. Tuesday morning, I got a call from Paul's wife. He'd passed away Monday night, 24 hours after that final show. So that really was, Paul.
It was
Linda, I mean, wasn't that unbelievable?
It was unbelievable, but it was worth it.
It was worth it. And Paul was a great guy. Now, somebody else who we all loved, Marianne Michaels. She was on this station, Channel 4, WMRN. She'd worked at some television stations in Dayton. She was a regular panelist on this station with Charlie and I on the Exchange Club every Friday. This was a classy woman. This was a woman who was smart. This was a woman who was well-read. This was one of my favorite. I loved seeing Marianne Michaels, always dressed perfectly. If you didn't know who Marianne was, once she came in the room, you knew she was somebody, even if you didn't know who she was. Marianne was wonderful. Sean, what are your memories of the late Marianne Michaels?
Oh, I have a lot of them, but I think it's probably when I first met her. She was a really nice lady to talk to and everything. And I don't know, she always dressed nice and everything else, yeah.
She did. She was a classy lady, one classy lady, Marianne Michaels. Now, also, Nan Weir was on this station with the late Marge Hazelwood as well. Nan and Marge, they did what was sort of called a woman show at that time. We still had those on this station because there weren't a lot of female voices on the air in Marianne. I believe, Linda, you were on this show quite a few times with Linda and Nan Weir. Marge and Nan Weir. But what are your memories of Marge and Nan?
I remember Miss Hazlett from elementary school. I think she taught third or fourth grade, and she was at Mark Street School, which was the school that I attended, and you know, she made an impact on my life even back then. So I knew her. Now, Miss Weir, she ended up marrying, I went to school with Kathy Weir, so she ended up marrying her dad. So in a way, I had a connection with her as well. But I really enjoyed their show. We all connected really well, and sometimes they would do me a favor if I didn't have a guest. So things just work out when you help out one another, right? And yep, that's what the radio was all about.
Now, also, somebody else who was a regular on your show, as you mentioned her, as she was a part of your show coming on this station, Sister Earlene Hatch. What a classic she was.
Yes, absolutely. A hard act to follow. She was so opinionated. She was a bold woman, a believer in Christ Jesus, and she was not afraid to speak her mind, you know. And she taught me a lot spiritually and even naturally so as being a woman. She had me doing all kind of volunteer work throughout Marion, Ohio, and setting me up to do something. I don't know what. She said, won't you just run for county commissioners or something? Right? No, not real. I just didn't see myself doing that. But I think she used to visit Mayor Kellogg a lot, didn't she? I know she told me. I just go up there and sit down. So yeah. She was that type of woman, you know. She was just courageous and bold.
And again, the type of relationship we have, she moved to South Carolina. And right again, before she left us, I believe last year, was it? Just last year, wasn't it? Right before she, I got this call on a Saturday from Sister Hatch, and she said, Scott, I'm getting ready to depart. And we had a two-hour phone conversation about her years on the radio, and she was talking about things that were going on. And she ended with a song on the phone. And days later, she had left. But she was a one, and you had those conversations with her as well.
I did. She called me first.
Yeah. Linda got the call first.
You're thinking someone's going to pass away, but they have 2 hours to talk to you and tell you things and, you know, encourage you and you know, like catapult you forward. And she was just that person. I didn't believe that we talked 2 hours. And then I think she called Scott. I let him know that she wanted to talk to him. And then she talked to him 2 hours. And we were not the only people she talked to for a couple hours, you know. And last I talked to her, she says, don't bother me now. I'm on my way. I'm waiting on my Lord to come and pick me up. And she says, just don't bother me. I'm like, okay, then. I kind of felt bad then, right? Okay, I'm not going to bother you, Mother Hatch. But I said, I love you. She said, just love Jesus. Don't even worry about loving me. But she was my heart. She really was.
One-of-a-kind woman, and another one-of-a-kind woman who hosted a show on this station, Martha Dowse Manasi. My goodness, the queen of dance herself. She would come into the studio. This was an unbelievable woman. Now, Sean, you engineered many of Martha's shows.
I did, and you know, also she taught me how to dance.
Maybe. That's debatable, the Cupid Shuffle. Yeah. But Martha was an unbelievable woman, and my favorite story about Martha Dowse is she came to the studio one time, and She had done her interview. I think she was plugging one of her dance recitals, and she was done. And I said, well, Martha, thank you for coming in. And she said, Scott, can I stay here? I really like being at the radio station. I said, fine, Martha. Can I get you something to drink? And she said, well, can I have some coffee? I'd like some coffee. And I said, okay, Martha. So I go back, and we didn't have any coffee at the radio station. So we did have some diet soda. And I poured some diet soda into a styrofoam cup, and I took it back to Martha, and I gave it to her, and I thought, oh, she's not going to like this very much. This is hardly coffee. So I started doing my program, and she's just sitting there watching, and she's sipping on that styrofoam cup through the whole interview, and we finally came to a break, and I said, Martha, how are you? And during the commercial, she leaned over, she said, honey, this is the best damn cup of coffee I've ever had. And that was Martha Dowse, was it not?
Yes.
Now, of course, somebody else we've got to mention, Charlie Evers, who was with us for 6 years, a legendary name in radio in this community. I had so many experiences with Charlie. They were always wonderful. We all work with Charlie. He was here 3 days a week. Glenn, you especially have fond memories of Charlie.
Well, when I came here, I think he's kind of the person that greeted me here. And he and I got along very well right from the beginning. And I think he and I got to know each other about a year and a half. And I had just basically fallen in love with Charlie. And one day I got a message that he had fallen down outside the stadium, the studio. And I said, well, I'll go down and help him out. Well, he had scrapes up one side and down the other. He had really hurt himself. But he wanted to go to the show, so I helped him get up to the show, bleeding everywhere, sat him down, and somehow or other he made it through the show. He didn't last too much past that, though. I think he passed away about 2 or 3 months later.
And interestingly enough, and I want to come quickly here before we take the break to Linda and Sean on this one, but Charlie had been in radio for a long time, and he was doing his show here. And after that fall, which I think was in April, he basically took a leave of absence because he wasn't feeling great. And then he called me one day and he said, I want to come back and host my show. I said, well, great. Come on back, Charlie. And he came back and he did the show. And during that show, he says, if you go back and listen to that show, he says, this is the last time I'm going to be on here, I think for now. But if you hear from me, it's going to be on this station. And after that show, we actually had to get him into a wheelchair to get him out of the building that day. But we all went out into the lobby and we had a toast of his favorite drink, which was Moxie Soda, which Calvin Coolidge used to drink. And a month after that, Charlie left us, and he was just a wonderful guy. Linda, what are your memories of Charlie?
He would always ask me questions about the Bible. Always. So that was our conversations that we had. You know, he was very interested in that. So, and that's a good thing.
Sean, your favorite memories of Charlie before we go to break?
We talked about ham radio a lot. You know, he had a three-digit name for a long time.
And you also had an interesting, funny experience with Charlie, right?
I did.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell this quick, and then we're going to go to break, but we're coming back with Larry Barnett, Fran Vall, and the whole gang here, and we're going to have cake at the end of this. We thank L&P Cake Shop and Donato's Pizza. We had a show on Friday called The Exchange, where we all would get together and discuss current events. Charlie was a panelist on that. Sean was a panelist on that. And one week, we got into a conversation about rubber bullets. And Sean said he thought the cops should have rubber bullets so people didn't get killed. And Charlie thought this was the most ridiculous thing he'd ever heard. So he is, rubber bullets? What are you talking about, rubber bullets? And they kind of get in a little friendly back and forth over rubber bullets. And this is on radio. You can't see what's going on in the studio. And I look across the table, and all of a sudden, Charlie gives Sean the finger. Right across the table. Gave him the old one finger, and I thought, holy mackerel, did Charlie ever just do that? So nobody said anything about it. Nobody talked about it. We finished up the show. We all went back into the room. And I said, did Charlie flip you the bird? Was I seeing things out there? And he said, yeah. I said, did he say anything to you? No. So a week passes. It's never brought up. Nobody ever talks about it. But it's on Sean's mind. So it's the same show a week later. He's running late. We're already on the air. We're doing the show, and we have these windscreens on the microphones that are different colors. And Charlie had left the pink one open for Sean. So Sean comes in, and we're in the middle of the show, and you can listen to this show. All you'll hear me do is start laughing. Sean walks in. He goes around to the table. We're in the middle of a current event, and he looks at Charlie, and he says, oh, I see, Charlie left me the pink microphone, and he flipped Charlie the bird right in the middle of the show. And that was the kind of relationship. And Charlie started laughing. He remembered it and fell out of his chair laughing about that. And those are the fun memories we've had. Now, we got to go to break. Matt, I hope you're ready to take us to break, but we're coming back with Larry Barnett, Fran Vall. We've got cake. We've got another live performance coming up with Aaron Brewer, Chad Clark. It's going to be great. Don't go anywhere. The WGH 12th anniversary, back in 15 minutes.